The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Today is Monday, November 2nd. Election Day is tomorrow. We'll tell you why and how law enforcement is preparing, but why you might not need to be as worried about election-related violence as some think. Also, an update and new warning from the nation's top infectious disease expert about a winter surge of COVID-19. And where in the world is seeing no new cases now? Plus, today marks 20 years of what's being called one of humanity's greatest engineering feats. Which celebrity is now in prison? And the newest streaming service just launched. Welcome, welcome to The Newsworthy. All the day's news in around 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. Thanks so much for being here. You ready? Let's do this. Ahead of Election Day tomorrow, law enforcement officers around the country are preparing for unrest. To be clear, there are so far no reports of actual credible threats of violence. Still, the New York Times says the largest police departments around the country have run practice drills on a few scenarios. For example, a violent clash between Biden and Trump supporters, a cyber attack, or a bomb. And to be extra safe, police in Washington, D.C. canceled time off and stocked up on riot supplies. Their counterparts in cities like Los Angeles, Detroit, Chicago, Houston, and Las Vegas are sending more officers out on patrol this week. In New York City, there's a longtime law that says at least one officer needs to be deployed at each polling station, and this year, hundreds more will be on standby. But many police officials say they're more worried about the period after Election Day, especially if there's no clear winner in the presidential race right away. And it's not just cops. A new poll from USA Today and Suffolk University found 3 out of 4 voters are worried about possible violence, too. There are some organizations working to de-escalate tensions, though, like the nonprofit More in Common. That group found that even though people are worried about the other side inciting violence, that they themselves would not lash out, even if they felt the election was decided unfairly. And another poll, this one from the nonprofit Over Zero, found the vast majority of Americans, Democrat and Republican, reject violence no matter what. So while there could be a few flare-ups of violence after the election, it seems there's no coordinated plan for widespread violence or a civil war. The FBI is now investigating an incident involving a Biden campaign bus and a caravan of apparent Trump supporters in Texas. The Biden campaign says a group of trucks waving Trump 2020 flags tried to slow down a Biden bus and run it off the road. It happened on Friday as the bus was driving from San Antonio to Austin. CNN reports some of the drivers in the so-called Trump train were yelling profanities at the Biden entourage, and at one point they slowed the tour bus to about 20 miles an hour on the 70-mile-an-hour interstate. Neither Joe Biden nor his running mate, Senator Kamala Harris, were on the bus, but their staffers were, and they were so rattled they ended up calling 911. Local law enforcement showed up and helped the bus get to its destination. So far, no one has been charged with a crime. President Trump retweeted a video of the incident and added the comment, "I love Texas." And the Texas GOP responded by saying the media needs to focus on real violence instead. Either way, the FBI is now looking into it. Meanwhile, most of the other weekend campaign events went on as planned. Today, President Trump is expected to hold at least 5 rallies, one in North Carolina, one in Pennsylvania, one in Wisconsin, and 2 in Michigan. Biden is going to be in Pennsylvania and Ohio. Already, the U.S. Elections Project says more than 93 million Americans' votes have been cast, and millions more are expected tomorrow. Stay tuned. While the number of new COVID-19 cases each day keeps breaking records in the U.S., and experts warn it will only get worse as we start getting into the holiday season. The U.S. reported more than 99,000 new COVID-19 cases on Friday, according to the Johns Hopkins tally. That broke the record we had just hit on Thursday. And when looking at a state-by-state breakdown, it seems it's getting worse almost everywhere. Cases are now growing by 5% or more in 43 states. Even worse, hospitalizations are still up as well. The COVID Tracking Project reported more than 47,000 coronavirus patients in American hospitals just on Saturday, and that's up nearly 66% from September. Now, the nation's top infectious disease expert, Dr. Anthony Fauci, is predicting the U.S. will report 100,000 new daily cases very soon, possibly this week. He told the Washington Post over the weekend, quote, "All the stars are aligned in the wrong place as you go into the fall and winter season. You could not possibly be positioned more poorly." In response, a White House spokesman accused Fauci of playing politics in the days leading up to the election and called that unacceptable, since Fauci serves on the president's coronavirus task force. The U.S. is not alone in seeing a big spike in COVID-19 cases. In fact, Reuters reports Europe's new infection rate has doubled in 5 weeks. So over the weekend, the U.K. joined countries like France and Germany in announcing restrictions that are almost as strict as the lockdowns we saw in the spring. By the way, there's some good news, too, in the worldwide coronavirus fight, and that comes out of Australia. The country registered no new local COVID-19 cases on Saturday or Sunday for the first time since June. Certain Australian cities have had tough measures in place until recently, though. For example, Melbourne was under a strict 7-week lockdown that banned most trips outdoors. And over the weekend, the government thanked its residents for following the rules. There's another tropical storm brewing in the Atlantic Ocean. Eta formed over the weekend. It's expected to move over Nicaragua and Honduras tonight and tomorrow morning, possibly as a hurricane. People in that part of Central America could get life-threatening flooding, landslides, and damaging winds. After it hits Central America, it's not clear exactly what happens next. But already, Eta is the 28th named storm of the season. That ties the record for the most named storms in one season previously set 15 years ago in 2005. CBS News reports this likely won't be the last one for 2020 either. All signs show the season will continue for at least 2 more weeks. We have more news coming up, but first let's take a quick break because this episode is brought to you by Apostrophe. Apostrophe is a prescription skincare company that connects you with a dermatologist online who can prescribe you products to meet your skincare goals. Simply fill out Apostrophe's online questionnaire about your skin concerns and medical history, then snap a few makeup-free selfies, and your board-certified dermatologist will get back to you within 24 hours with a customized treatment plan. I did this mostly as a preventative measure. Then the dermatologist even noticed some things that I wasn't aware of, and when I had questions about it, she got back to me quickly with all of the answers. It made the whole process simple and affordable. So get your first visit with a board-certified dermatologist at apostrophe.com for only $5 when you use our code NEWSWORTHY. This code is only available to our listeners. To get started, just go to apostrophe.com and click Begin Visit. Then use the code NEWSWORTHY at sign up and you'll get your dermatology visit for only $5. That's APOSTROPHE, apostrophe.com, and use that code NEWSWORTHY to get your dermatology visit for only $5. All right, now back to the news. The International Space Station is celebrating a major milestone. Today marks 20 years since the first crew of astronauts moved in. NASA astronaut William Shepard and two Russian cosmonauts were the first to call the ISS home when they arrived on November 2, 2000. Since then, it has had continuous crew operations. NASA calls the ISS one of humanity's greatest engineering feats. The U.S., Russia, Japan, Europe, and Canada all work together to build it. It now zips along at more than 17,000 miles per hour and orbits the Earth every 90 minutes. The ISS is starting to show its age, though. It now occasionally has air leaks and other issues, so NASA says it's time to start planning for its replacement. The actor Sean Connery has died. The Scottish-born actor was probably most known for playing the fictional spy James Bond. That role put Connery on the map back in the 1960s, and from then on, he was a household name. His acting career spanned 4 decades. During that time, he won an Oscar for his role in the 1987 film The Untouchables. He also won 3 Golden Globe Awards. Variety reports Connery's family says he died in his sleep in the Bahamas. He had apparently been having health issues for a while. Connery was 90 years old. Actress and Full House star Lori Loughlin has reported to prison. She'll serve 2 months behind bars for her part in a college admission scandal. Remember, she and her husband paid $500,000 to get their 2 daughters recruited to USC. The money was apparently to get them on the crew team, even though neither girl had actually participated in that sport. Loughlin was caught up in that huge scheme that allowed the rich and famous to pay their kids' way into college. In all, 57 people were charged in the scandal, including other famous faces like actress Felicity Huffman, who already pled guilty, apologized, and served her 11 days in prison. As for Loughlin, she also apologized for her part in this, saying she made a terrible mistake. On top of the 2 months of prison time, NBC News reports she'll also have to pay $150,000 in fines and do 100 hours of community service. Her husband was sentenced to 5 months in prison with a $250,000 fine and 250 hours of community service. T-Mobile launched a new streaming service. It's a revamped version of T-Vision, which was launched in just a handful of cities last year and still required a cable box. But now the new T-Vision will give you access to live TV without renting a cable box or signing contracts. CNET reports subscribers get access to all sorts of channels like AMC, the Discovery Channel, Hallmark Channel, CNN, Fox News, the NFL Network, and so on, depending on what plan they choose. Subscriptions range from $10 to $60 a month. For now, it's only available to T-Mobile customers. Sprint users should have access soon since the two companies got approval to merge. Then everyone else should be able to sign up next year. Día de los Muertos, also known as Day of the Dead, continues today. On the annual Mexican holiday, people honor their loved ones who have passed away. For example, they sometimes create elaborate altars to commemorate them. They also gather to tell stories and eat and drink. The holiday is sometimes marked by parades where people paint beautiful skulls on their faces or on ceramics. Obviously, this year's Day of the Dead will be a little different because of COVID-19. There probably won't be as many large gatherings, but people say they're still finding ways to commemorate the holiday. Some tell NBC News they'll just do an altar this year with close family. Others are using social media or virtual connections. And that's it for your main news today, but now it's time for Money Monday, where we talk about one interesting money-related news story. But first, thanks to our sponsor today, Just Egg. Did you know a plant can scramble like an egg? Yes, it can. I just tried Just Egg for the first time, and I was so impressed by how much their plant-based egg scrambled, cooked, and had the look and texture of a real egg. I had it with my avocado toast, but I also plan to try it as an omelet, breakfast sandwich, use it for French toast. The options are endless. It's also protein-packed, but has no cholesterol. It's perfect for anyone looking to take a step toward more of a plant-based diet. And it's better for the planet as well. Just Egg is made with mung beans, using much less water and fewer carbon emissions than a conventional egg. And get this, Just Egg is now the number one fastest-growing egg brand in the U.S. You can get Just Egg now on Amazon Prime Now, or Instacart, or at Whole Foods, your local grocery store, or co-op in the egg aisle or frozen section. Just Egg, a better egg for you and the planet. Thank you, Just Egg, for sponsoring this podcast. All right, back to Money Monday. The Fed reports millennials in their 20s and 30s controlled just 4.6% of all U.S. wealth in the first half of this year, even though they make up the largest portion of the workforce. In comparison, when baby boomers were their age, they controlled 21% of the nation's wealth. So what's behind this disparity? Well, CNBC reports it's not entirely clear. On average, millennials are better educated than their parents and grandparents, so hypothetically, they should be getting paid more. But they're missing out on certain things that help build wealth. For example, they don't own as much in the stock market, and the pandemic seems to be making the wealth gap even greater. While all of the economy has been impacted by job loss, it's hit certain industries particularly hard, like retail, education, and hospitality. And those are the ones that are primarily made up of millennials. Of course, there are exceptions. There are plenty of millennials who work for tech companies or invest in tech, and they've been profiting from this year's shift to working, shopping, and socializing online. In fact, the world's third richest person, Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg, is in the millennial generation. He's now reportedly worth $100 billion. All right, thank you so much for listening today. Of course, we'll be back with the news you need to know on Election Day tomorrow. Until then, have a great day.